This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Well, hello everyone and welcome to It's a Funny Thing with Celine. I am Celine and I am so happy that you're here with me today. So if you're new to the radio show / podcast, well, welcome, a big welcome to you. We gather here together and we talk about the things that are important to us. We talk about life, love, abundance, health and everything in between and anything in between. And really this show is an opportunity for us to have a break and to pause, to reflect on what is going on in our lives, what is truly going on in our lives, and what we no longer want and what we actually do want as well. So if you're multitasking, I would invite you to just take a break. Maybe you need to listen to this podcast episode for, you know, another time. Or perhaps you can actually have a break. So make yourself a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Have a cookie or a slice of cake and wrap yourself in a blankie. Light the fire and do whatever you need to be extra comfortable in this moment. I think it is a symptom of, or perhaps it's something that we do, you know, us women, we just rush and we multitask and we are so organized and we get value from being efficient and organized. And well, is that really all of your value? You have so much more to offer to the world than just being organized and being a super mom and that sort of thing. You have so much more to offer. And you will only discover this value when you take the time to sit down, when you take the time to have a break. And in the course of my life, I've really come to value moments of meditation. So when I was younger, when I was a child, you know, these moments came from reading and being on my own in my room for hours and hours on end, just being with myself and trying to make sense of life, especially as a teenager. And when I grew older, these moments took the shape of sitting down and reading the Bible. I remember going on a missionary trip in the Philippines. Yes, I did that. And so we were there for 3 months, I think. 2 months? 3 months? I can't remember. But anyway, I remember getting up earlier than everybody else and finding a little spot on the ship, because yes, I was on a ship. It was a crazy experience. So finding myself a cozy little spot on the ship where I could watch the sunrise and be alone for 20 minutes, half an hour. And I just maybe read a particular chapter or just opened the book at random and I just read and I reflected and I prayed. And that was my moment of reflection. And as I perhaps grew in my consciousness, or perhaps, yeah, as I grew in my consciousness, I started to do breathing exercises and to meditate, and that became my moment of meditation. And to have, you know, 40-minute breathing practice and then to sit down afterwards to really absorb the benefits of the practice. And anything can be a meditation. You know, we are stuck in visualizing meditation as, you know, you're sitting cross-legged and you have, you know, that hand shape, you know, your thumb is touching the whatever it's called, not the thumb, the index finger, I don't know, whatever, the second finger. And you know, you're sitting and you have your back straight and you have your eyes closed and you're so enlightened and illuminated. This is just one form of meditation, guys. You can read a book, you can go for a walk, you can draw, you can cook and bake. That is a form of meditation. Whatever will allow your brain to be that little bit stiller. And you can, you know, journal, you can dance, you can, even conversation can be a form of meditation, but not any kind of conversation, right? You know what I mean. Gardening can be a form of meditation. Weeding definitely is a form of meditation. Whatever invites you to go a little deeper in yourself. And movement can be a great way of doing this, because you're focused on getting the weight, you're focused on, you know, weighing the right amount of ingredient for your cake to be amazing and to look amazing and taste amazing. And it invites you to just focus on one task so that the rest of your mind can really just be present and still. So if sitting down is not for you, that's fine. It may be that it's for you down the path, you know, down the future, at some point in the future. But for now, just find something that really invites you and forces you to be present. So find something that's you can do every single day, because meditation or consciousness or healing is a practice. It is a journey. I remember when I first started on the journey, I thought, you know, I'll just do this and then I'll be free. I'll just heal that pattern and then I'll be free. I'll just work on that and then I'll be free. I'll just work on my relationship with my mother, with my father, with my and then I'll be free. And that freedom never came, and there was always something else to heal. And eventually I realized that I am much freer than when I started on the path. And what I mean the path, it's sort of a generic term to say life, to say whatever is meant for you, whatever you want to achieve or whatever you want to create in your life. Sorry about the noise. You probably heard the cat flap. That's Lily coming in for her breakfast, and she was quite psychotic this morning, scratching the couch and everything. I reorganized the furniture in the living room yesterday, so the cats are a bit out of sorts this morning. So anyway, she went out and now she's coming back for her breakfast. So when I mean the path, I mean consciously living. I mean having a look at your stuff. I mean having a look at the things that are stopping you from being who you truly want to be. That is the path for me. And I do believe that there are things that are meant for us. I do believe in divine timing and synchronicities and miracles. And I believe that these things tend to happen more when we are conscious for them. I'll just see if I can, Lily's purring on my lap, I'll see if I can, it's funny that she's coming right at this moment. Normally she doesn't come when I do podcasts or healings. Interesting, but maybe it's just that it's cold and she just wants to snuggle on my lap this morning. So eventually, as we walk down the path, right, we realize that so much of it is about being conscious to what is truly going on. And that is really an important talking point. It is really something that will change everything for you. Because we see that things are not happening well in our health, in our family, in our work, with our manager, we lose our job, we have health issues, somebody dies, you know, we have digestive issues, we have emotional issues, we have an argument with our partner, with our best friend, and Lily is sitting on my bone, and we don't really know what's going on, and we feel afraid, we feel unworthy, we feel insecure, you know, the stress response in our brain is activated, and it triggers other things that have happened, similar things that have happened to us in our past, and we don't really know what's going on. And so perhaps we start to panic, or we start to feel angry, so we get triggered, you know, we start to fight back, we attack before we get hurt. That was a defense mechanism, somebody I used to know in my childhood, and gosh, he was so good at hurting people. You know, he just knew the thing that, you know, he had to say so that you would be completely disarmed and vulnerable, and so he would be, I guess, more secure and confident in himself. Anyway, so when these things happen, because they do happen, and there's no way to control them really, unless you find consciousness and space in that moment. And sometimes it is good to just walk away from the situation and to just let it be. And come back to it the next day. I'm not talking about avoidance. I'm talking about finding the right moment to deal with a situation. And when you're stressed, when you're angry, when you're tired, when you're hungry, these are not the right moments to deal with something that is stressing you. But when the right time comes, then you must sit down and have an honest conversation with yourself. What is truly going on here? How am I participating in creating this situation? What do I need to do? What have I done? Is this a pattern that is familiar to me? What emotions can I feel right now? Is it something that happened to my mother or my father? Is it something that happened to me in my childhood? Is this connected to something that happened to me in my childhood? How is it serving me to experience this? What am I learning from this? And if you don't have a practice of digging or asking yourself questions around what is truly going on in your life, then you probably should write down these questions. So go back and write down each of these questions. And they can serve as guidelines when you're encountering something difficult. And as you do more and more of this work, you'll realize, well, actually, all that I need is more love in my life. So how can I receive more unconditional love in my life? How can I be more open to that? And how can I generate more unconditional love for myself, for the people around me? How can I receive and how can I generate more love in my life? Ultimately, this is all that it comes down to. And I had this revelation around self-love the other day. I started to work with a counselor. And she's a bit of a sounding board for me, you know, when something's not going right in my life and I struggle to understand what's going on and how I can fix it and I struggle to have clarity, then it's good to have a conversation with someone who's trained in dealing with trauma and dealing with healing. If you don't have a person in that life, I highly recommend that you start working with a healer or a coach or a mentor or a teacher. Talking to a friend who's in the same stage of life as you, or talking to a partner who doesn't understand spiritual healing, they're not going to help you as you need to be helped. Perhaps they're going to provide part of the answer. But you need to be able to talk to somebody that you feel really, truly, completely safe with. So anyway, I had this conversation around self-love. I had a revelation around self-love just last week. We were talking about this pattern in my life that has been troubling me again and again, and it feels like the last big piece of the puzzle. And I know I've said that before, but it really does feel like the last big piece of the puzzle here this time. And I said, I don't know how to generate more love for myself. I feel like I'm stuck there. I haven't received this love, so my brain just doesn't know how to generate this for myself. There's no place in myself where I can't feel anywhere in my body where I can generate this love from. I have no capacity. I don't have the knowledge to generate this love for myself. And she said something interesting. She said, well, ultimately, it's very simple. Think about an infant, a baby that's receiving love from her caregiver, her mother, her father. If she's hungry, she cries and she's fed. If she's thirsty, she cries and she's fed. If she's tired, she cries and whatever happens for a baby. I'm not a mother myself. When she has a need, she expresses it and somebody fulfills it for her. And as she grows older, she learns to fulfill these needs for herself. So the basic needs, right, are food, water, and sleep. That's our three basic needs. You know, if you don't have that, you can't really keep going in your life. And she said, well, this is all that you need to know right now. The rest will come. But for now, just ask yourself, am I hungry? Am I thirsty? Am I tired? Do I need a snack? Do I need a nap? Or do I need to change what I'm doing in my diet? Then we can start going into more difficult and complex questions. If I'm feeling tired in the morning, does that mean that I'm going to bed too late in the evening? If I'm feeling tired, is it because I'm working on something, on an emotional issue, and it's making me feel tired and challenged and cranky? So what do I need right now? Perhaps I just need to have a nap, a break from reality, and then I can get back to it later. If I'm feeling disconnected, then what is truly going on here? I know I've been spending too much time on my phone, so what do I need to do to feel more connected? Do I have a network of friends and family that supports me and that I support as well? Do I have a village, right? Because it takes a village. It takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to take care of an elderly person. It takes a village to have a healthy family dynamics. It takes a village to love yourself. It takes a village to be happy and healthy and abundant. It takes a village. So do you have your village? Or do you feel isolated because of whatever reason? If you're suffering from headaches or migraines, what is truly going on here? Is it an overload of sugar? Is it that you feel that you can't cope with this reality, with this life that you have created for yourself? And so a headache or being sick or unwell is just a really, really good excuse to tune out. What do you really need then? A break. Can you give yourself a break? Can you give yourself the gift of a break without being in pain? And I think it is important to mention that having a pause is so important. And your value, as I mentioned before, is so much more than being super organized and super efficient and cooking fresh meals for your family every day. Where does your value really come from? It comes from yourself. It comes from deciding that you're important. It comes from deciding that your time is important. It comes from deciding that you have so much more to offer to the world. But you can't give yourself this break if you're forever running around trying to get things done, trying to get on top of your to-do list. Most of the things on your to-do list are useless, do not need to be done. So what are you getting out of being super organized, of doing too much? Do you get a sense of value from that because you don't feel that you have any other value? Well, sit down with that feeling. Who told you that you had no value in your life? Why is it that you feel that you have no value, that you have nothing to offer? And a lot of it is that we don't actually know ourselves. We don't know what is actually going on. We don't know what's happening in our lives and why that's caused by something that happened to you in your childhood. I've been reading a book, and my counselor mentioned that book to me. She's a really good counselor. And the book is called What Happened to You, and it's co-written by Oprah Winfrey and Dr. Bruce Perry. Now, I'm not a really big fan of Oprah. I'm not really connected to her work, but this book is amazing. And Dr. Perry says that if you have felt unsafe or uncared for in the first 2 years of your life, those are major foundational years for your brain to develop. And so if you have felt unsafe at any point in those 2 years, that has a major impact on the rest of your life. It has a bigger impact than if you have, suffered, years of abuse and trauma down the line. Those first 2 years, if you were crying as a baby and that need was not met, or you had a distracted caregiver, or that caregiver was just not there, or you changed, or that, caregivers changed several times over those first 2 years. I know that I spent several weeks in hospital when I was just a baby. Imagine what I must have done for my psyche, for my brain. Complete change in environment. Ultimately, my point is that what is going on in your life today is not really what is going on in your life. So you think, oh, I can't meet my soulmate. Oh, there's just no men out there. Whatever. That's not really what the problem is. You need to go down to the core of the issue. So start asking yourself some questions. Ask yourself the questions that I outlined earlier in the show. What is truly going on? How is it serving me to not have my soulmate in my life? Which part of me does not want to be loved or is not ready for intimacy? Which part of me is heartbroken? Where in my life have I suffered heartbreak? Have I ever witnessed a healthy romantic relationship, a partner relationship? long-lasting relationship? If not, then how can I create that for myself? Where in my childhood have I experienced trauma or neglect or suffering in any way? And how has that impacted my brain, the way that I act, how I make decisions? How do I lash out? How do I become angry? Why do I become angry? If you want a soulmate, you better have a look at all of these things before you meet your soulmate. Get yourself ready for your partner. Get yourself ready for your soulmate. Because I'm telling you, it is so much harder to look at these things while you're in a relationship. Because suddenly you're in a dynamic where somebody who's also experienced trauma and neglect and abuse and whatever, and heartbreak. So this podcast episode is really about inviting you to have a break, to take a moment to reflect on what is truly going on. I'm telling you, go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. If you don't know how to do this, work with somebody who does. If you're truly serious about changing your life and upgrading and manifesting all the stuff, then you need to ask yourself these questions. Even if your only goal in life is to be happy, you need to ask yourself these questions. Because you can change, your brain can change, your brain can heal. You can change everything about yourself, but the first step is to take a break. So I think I'll leave things here for now. I hope that this was helpful to you. I hope that you gained a nugget or two or 10 or 20 of information and knowledge and healing that you need for your life. I'd love to hear what you have learned, what breakthroughs you may have had, and I'll see you next time, and I'm sending you so much love. Bye.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.